Good afternoon. So it's almost 2020. That's might be surprising. It's kind of hard to believe. Like, it's a new year. People start talking about what is going to happen in the upcoming year. What will the new year bring? And if you read the title of my sermon today, my split sermon here, I'm asking the question, could Jesus Christ return in 2020? You know, people, they look to prophecy to find answers to these kind of questions. Before I get started, I'll give a definition of prophecy that I looked up, and it's the inspired declaration of divine will and purpose. So basically, God's word about his will and purpose. That's prophecy. And people from the beginning of time have wanted to know what the future holds. What's going to happen? In Matthew 24, Jesus Christ's disciples, they asked, they said, what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? They were wondering that same question when Jesus Christ was here. And what and when are things going to happen? Each generation thought it was the end time, right? Going through generations all the way back to this time of Christ. There are some prophecies that need to occur before Christ returns. Certain things need to be in place in the world before Christ returns. And today I'm going to look at a few of those things. We'll look at those. We'll look at some of these prophecies and see if we can determine if Jesus Christ could return in 2020. There are multiple booklets and information provided from the church on prophecy. I picked up three here this morning. There's the book of Revelation Unveiled, Can You Understand Bible Prophecy, the United States and Britain in Bible Prophecy, and there's a few more actually over there. Most of the information I'm going to give you today comes from an article called Seven Prophecies That Must Be Fulfilled Before Jesus Christ Return. And it's an article from, it's on UCG.org. So there's some things in the world that need to be set in place that are prophesied before Jesus Christ returns. So the first one of those things that needs to be in place is that the human race would have to be able to exterminate itself. Let's turn over to Matthew 24 and we'll read this. This was actually read last week. So Matthew 24, and verse 21, we'll actually be reading several verses out of Matthew 24 today. But Matthew 24, and verse 21, it says, "For then there will be great tribulation, such has not been since the beginning of the world until this time. No, nor ever shall be. Unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened." So no flesh would be saved on the earth. This kid's saying humans would wipe themselves off of the planet if Jesus Christ did not intervene. Humans have not had the ability to do that until recently, and really in the last 50 years, when the United States and Russia have stockpiled weapons, nuclear weapons, for a policy of mutually assured destruction, right? That at some point, if one country's attacked, everyone's going to be destroyed. So that's a relatively new thing that has come up in the last 50 years or so. And someday, those weapons, they will be used, right? They won't be sitting around forever unused. But the ability for humans to wipe themselves off the earth is in place, and that's something relatively recent. So you can check that off the list. One of the things that needs to be in place before Christ returns. Another thing in the world setting that needs to be in place is there need to be a Jewish homeland reestablished in the Middle East. Let's turn over to Zechariah 14, and we can read about this. Zechariah 14, verse 1. It says, "Behold, the day of the Lord is coming, and your spoil will be divided in your midst." And it says, "For I will gather all the nations to battle against Jerusalem, and the city shall be taken." Then in verse 3, it says, "Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations, as he fights in the day of battle. And in that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall be split in two." So there's this battle that will take place in Jerusalem, it's saying. And that has not been possible. There has not been a Jewish-controlled country since around 70 AD. Judea was crushed by the Romans. The Jews were spread out throughout the world. And there's been no Jewish homeland since 1948, when modern Israel was reestablished. Now, to us, it seems like, you know, Israel's always been there. It's kind of just like a norm. But it hasn't been. It hasn't been that way for over 1,800 years. But it is in place, and this prophecy could be fulfilled where this battle could take place. So another event or situation that's set up in the world before the time of Jesus Christ returns. So the third thing that needs to be in place in the world is an end time union of nations. I'm not going to turn there, but I'll refer to Daniel 7, which I would encourage you to read later, or and also Daniel 2. But there's prophecies about these empires that arise from the time of Daniel until the end time. It starts with a lion. It's described as a lion with wings, and then a bear, then a leopard, and then this beast with 10 horns. And I'll just read a scripture here from Daniel 7, verse 23. It says, "The fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be different from all other kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, trample it, and break it in pieces. The 10 horns are 10 kings who shall arise from this kingdom." Let's actually turn over to Revelation 17, and we can read about this a little bit more. Revelation 17, verse 12. It speaks about this prophecy as well. It says, "The 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings who have received no kingdoms as yet, but they received authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast. These are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast." And then it says, "These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And those who are with him are called chosen and faithful." So there's this union of nations at the end time in the same area where these other kingdoms arose. And do we have that now? Maybe is the answer to that one, I would say. There's a European Union. I believe there's 28 countries in that. The United Kingdom is leaving that union. Others could align powers. It's hard to say exactly how that will line up. So I can't say that those are in place right now, but they certainly could be in a very short notice. Could be very soon. And then that would be in place, another thing that need to be in place before Jesus Christ returns. The fourth thing I have for you that needs to be in place is the gospel will be preached to the entire world. I know many of us have heard this. Let's turn over to Matthew 24, and we can read that as well. Matthew 24 and verse 14, It says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. That's the gospel of the good news, right? This hasn't been available. The Bible was made in the 1600s, where it's actually printed and sent out. But even then, it wasn't around the world. It wasn't really until recent time when TV, radio started happening, where this information could get out and really be preached to the world. And even with TV, there's countries around the world that are very restrictive on what information gets into those countries. But that has changed as well, where you have the internet now, right? Where it's getting more and more difficult to control what information gets sent out. And part of that is this word. So, has the gospel been preached to the entire world? I would say that's another maybe. And if not, it's very close. Very close. Kind of going along with that, my next point is that there needs to be instant worldwide communication and God's final witnesses. If you turn back to Revelation, we can read about these two witnesses that will be in the world. Revelation 11. Revelation 11, verse 3, it says, and I will give my power to two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,260 days. And then if you skip on down to verse 9, it says, then those from the peoples, the tribes, the tongues, and nations will see their dead bodies 3.5 days. So the world, they don't like these witnesses, and they attack them. And they're killed, says that in verse 8. And it says, they do not allow their bodies to be put into graves. And then in verse 10, it says something. It says, and those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them, make merry, and send gifts to one another, because the two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth. So all the people on the earth are going to somehow know that this happened for 3 days. Could that happen? Could we see something that happens maybe in the Middle East here and know about it? Yes, we can, absolutely. And again, something that's only been possible recently with technology as far as people being able to see around the world. So, yes, I would say that is possible. And it's setting the stage for that eventual return of Jesus Christ. It was kind of mentioned there, but what will happen just before Jesus Christ returns? It's the tribulation, right? The tribulation must take place. Talked about the two witnesses there. 3.5 years, or that 1,260 days. Let's turn over to Matthew one more time. Matthew 24. What we're really trying to show here today is all these events that are setting up, and it's showing that a plan is being put in place, that the world is aligning in a way that God says for that eventual return of Christ. Something that Mr. Tuck likes to put in the prophetic times, a lot of these details and countries moving around and things getting ready for that eventual return of Christ. So I mentioned the tribulation. The tribulation is 3.5 years. We just mentioned that the witnesses will be on the scene for that amount of time. So I think that answers our question, what we asked in the beginning. Could Jesus Christ return in 2020? But let's read this, Matthew 24 and verse 29. It says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. Then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet, which we talked about on the Day of Trumpets. And they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. And then verse 44, it says something. It says, therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. So I asked that question, could Jesus Christ return in 2020? We have some prophecies here that have to be in place, right? Situations in the world that have to be in place before Jesus Christ returns. And some of those are in place, or they're lining up now, even, or in the recent years. The tribulation is 3.5 years before Jesus Christ returns, so I think I can safely say that Jesus Christ will not return in 2020, unless we're in the middle of the tribulation now, which I don't think is the case. But it could be soon. Those events that start that off and that series of events could happen very soon, very soon. You can write this down. There's a prophecy in Hosea 5 that actually indicates that modern Israel could fall in a month, potentially. That's the countries that make up modern Israel. So these things could happen very, very quickly. Matthew 24 and verse 37 says, when these events finally start to fall, it says people will be eating, drinking, getting married. Things will seem normal. And then these events that we read about start to happen. So my last point I want to bring to you today is, why does any of that even matter to us? Why does prophecy matter? Why do we need to care about these things or know that these things are lining up in the world? Does it really matter to us? And it does. It matters to us because it gives us peace when these things do happen, when we see things happening in the world. It gives us peace because God says they're going to happen, and we know it. But even more importantly than that, prophecy shows that God is in charge. He is in charge of what is happening in the world, and he has been since the beginning. And he lays out these events just as he says they will happen. He has a plan for us, for all of humankind, and he's following through with that. You know, God's purpose is to save us, right? And to have us be part of his family. He's following through with that plan. People from the beginning of time, they wanted to know the future really a lot of times to save their own skin, right? If I know these things are going to happen, maybe I can move to Idaho or something. I don't know what people do. And that's really not what the intent of prophecy is. So we can, you know, avoid the tribulation or save ourselves from some battle or anything like that. But people wonder that. But it's really, once again, to get back to show God is in charge. God's in charge. He has a plan, and he's following through with it. People want to know the what's and when's and where's, and it's really not the right focus. You know, prophecy, it helps us evaluate where we stand when we look at these things happening. Where do we stand with God personally? But it also, it brings us that comfort, right? That we know. We know there's a God out there who is in charge, who's in charge and brings things to fruition that he says are going to happen. We know that God is in control. Even in Matthew 24:6, it says, do not be alarmed when these things happen. He was telling us that it is going to happen. You know, there's a lot of prophecy that's actually, it's already been done. It's already come to pass. The birth, the life, and the death of Jesus Christ were all foretold in prophecy. Actually, Matthew has about 13 Old Testament prophecies about Jesus Christ that all came true, and it kind of lays those out in Matthew. And it shows that God has a plan. He has had a plan far before us, and he's making it happen, and it will happen. And we should have comfort in that. And some of those prophecies are complete. Some of them are still coming. They can be, prophecy can be a warning, but like I said, it should be encouraging to us that God has that plan and we are part of it. It's really not there. Prophecy is not there for us to figure out dates and times. It's not what it's there for. You know, the holy days are prophetic, right? We have the holy days. Some of them represent Jesus Christ, right? With Passover, unleavened bread, and some of them look at things in the future, right? Like the trumpets, the Feast of Tabernacles, those days, they're events that will happen in the future. And it all shows that plan of God and what he is doing. So Jesus Christ will say he will not return in 2020. There are multiple events that were prophesied to occur before Jesus Christ's return. Some of those things have happened. Some of them could happen this year. These things can start falling into place. Prophecies were made 2,000 years ago, some of these that we read, even more, farther back, that didn't make any sense at the time. And now they do. We can see that in the world. We can see that in the world, these things taking place. But asking if Jesus Christ, if he could return in 2020, it's really the wrong question to even be asking. It's not the important question. Or if he returns in any other year. It's looking at prophecy in a way that reminds us, once again, that God has a plan. He's working with us, and he has a plan for this world, and he's going to follow through with it. It is real, and we are part of that plan. And prophecy helps show us how that plan is real and the steps along the way and how we've gotten to where we are now. I hope to study personally some more specific prophecies over the next year. It's a way to build faith in God and look at his plan and what he has done and what he's doing. If prophecy is not a strength of yours, I would encourage you to look into it as a way to build that faith in Jesus Christ and God and their plan in your life.